Good morning. So all of you have Eskimo blood. That's good. It is dangerously cold out there. Please don't travel around today without throwing an extra blanket or coat in your car and check on your neighbors. Coffee hour has been canceled for today. And also today we have our table up here for candles. If you have, if you brought a candle in today with your name on it and you haven't put it at the table yet, you can do that now during the passing of the peace. Bring your candle down here. If you did not come prepared to do that, if you don't have a candle, you'll find in your bulletin a slip of paper. You can put your family name on there. And then there will be a basket passed around, and these will be collected. Then the baskets will be put outside of the doors of the narthex. And on your way out, reach into the basket and pull out a name and take it home with you. Make sure it's not your name. But take that name home with you and pray for them all year long. So slip it into your Bible so that you can remember to pray for them all year long. So you want to fill this out with your name, put it in the basket when it comes around, and then when you leave the service, pick up a name on your way out. If you brought a candle, come on up and grab a candle, a different candle than one you brought, and take that candle home with you. The name will be on the candle. Anything else needs to be said about the candles? No, we're good. Okay, and please remember that there is a, we're starting our Bible study this Wednesday at 1 o'clock. All you need to bring is something to write with and your Bible. See you right outside my office. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather together here in this place to worship you, to praise you, to lift high the name of Jesus, to put aside our own frustrations, to empty ourselves. For we gather together in this place to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to become more like Jesus. And so, God, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon this service, that it would be pleasing unto you and life-changing to us. Have your way with us, God. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. 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 Let's pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats, I would like to welcome all present this morning and especially any visitors that we have. Do we have any visitors out there on this cold, albeit beautiful, sunshiny day? If you are a visitor and would like information, please see one of our ushers for a packet of information, or if you would so desire, we do have packets hanging immediately outside the double doors on the Shepherd's Crook there in the narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration sheet in the red folder located at the end of your pew, pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. And if you have a prayer request this morning, please find 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Complete that and then put your request in the clear holder at the end of the pew. Our memory verse for January is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me now. We will recite it twice through. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. We have many announcements, and I'm just going to highlight a few of them and would ask that you do check your bulletin for the remainder. With regard to financial reports, if you have either any receipts or you have a last-minute contribution that you would like to go on your 2016 statement, you do need to do that today. The books will be closed tomorrow when the office staff does arise. So if you do need any receipts or you want to make a contribution for your 2016 taxes, please make certain that you do that today. Mark your calendars. Our church cleaning day is coming up quickly, Saturday, January 21st. Becky Reed is heading that up. We have a big, beautiful church, and there's lots of nooks and crannies that need cleaned. So I hope you'll find it in your time, in your schedule, and in your heart to let's take care of our church. Also, two classes that are coming up. And we'll begin in a month, so it's time to start thinking about that. Confirmation classes. Any students that want to become a member of our church,
Pastor Bruce will be having confirmation classes beginning on February 5th, and that's will be held Sunday during the Sunday school hours. So parents, if it's your child is of that school age, please consider confirmation for the church. And also those wishing to join the church that have already perhaps been confirmed but are not members, Pastor is also conducting membership classes beginning on Sunday, February 19th, and those will run in conjunction with confirmation classes, so both groups will come together and learn about the church and the Methodist Church and giving their life to the Lord. Now, Diane has an announcement.
We had a really good turnout for Hanging of the Greens back in November. It's time to take them all down. So next week, right after church, come in your work clothes if you want and help us to take down all these beautiful decorations and put them away. If we have as many people come to unhang the greens as we had to hang the greens, it shouldn't take very long. So hope to see you all there next week, right after worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to worship. Please stand and rise for the call to worship, turning in your red hymnal to number 738 for the reading of Psalm 1. Please recite your response to my prompt. Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Please remain standing for our prayer of light this morning. It's printed in your bulletin. Please join me now. Strong covenant God, save us from being self-centered in our prayers and teach us to remember to pray for others. May we be so bound up in love with those for whom we pray that we may feel their needs as acutely as our own and intercede for them with sensitiveness, with understanding, and with imagination. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. And please remain standing for our Song of Light, found in your little black hymnal, The Faith We Sing, page 2173. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, give me five. Give me five. Five. Yes. All right. Nice. Well, who loves us?
Jesus
loves us bunches and bunches. I'm telling you what, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, Jesus loves us. We serve a covenant God. You know what it means, covenant? Covenant is an agreement, a promise that is made between two parties. God, who is our creator, told us if we do certain things, then he will do certain things. So God has promised us, well, let me show you this way. I'll tell you what. I have quarters here. I will give you a quarter if you go and hug somebody. So go hug somebody and then come on back up here. No. There you go. Good job. See? I said, if you do this, then I'll do that. You did what I said. You went and hugged somebody, and I gave you a quarter. God has made covenants with us, more than one. John 3:16 is a covenant. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God said, if you believe in my Son, then I will give you everlasting life. That's the promise. That's the deal. And as long as we believe in Jesus, and that means no more than just his facts. You know, we got to know all there is to know about Jesus, what he wants us to do and how he lived and everything. So if we believe in Jesus, then we get eternal life. That's a covenant. That's a promise, an agreement God makes. God never breaks his promises. But sometimes we do, but God never does. So, Jesus loves you bunches and bunches. Come on up here and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we thank you for all that you want us to do, for loving us. And Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us so that you would show us what it is you want us to do as covenant people. Your will be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said?
Amen.
Wait a minute. Try it again. Nice and loud on the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Very good.
Yes.
Thank you, choir. I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give unto you these tithes and these offerings. We give them to you with a cheerful heart, and they represent, Lord, just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. Lord, we give to you our lives as living sacrifices this day. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings, use them as you see fit, for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. joys and concerns. Warm weather and warm clothes. Absolutely. Bill and Elaine, 65. Yeah. Anniversary. One of you deserves a medal, Elaine, but I won't say which one, okay? I just. Your mom's pregnant. Okay, congratulations. You want a little brother or sister? Well, that's good. Doesn't matter. Twins. Yeah. Other joys. The Steelers made it to the playoffs. Regardless of what they do today, made it to the playoffs. So, well, we have a lot to be thankful for. For all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, for our concerns, please take note. Jot this stuff down and pray about it. We want to pray for Joe. God knows the details. Pray for Betty. God knows the details. I'd ask that you pray for my sister Midge. She's 4 years older than I am. Keep Bonnie in your prayers. Pray for our church, for our country, for those who are being affected by the weather, which is going to be in the 50s in the middle of the week and then bottom back out again the following week. It's just crazy weather. Keep the Rudy family in your prayers. Mark's brother passed away. Ann broke a bone in her leg. I think it was her fibula. Anybody else? Prayer, intercessory prayer. Remember our first responders, that situation in Fort Lauderdale, the airport down there. It was another attempted mass killing in Jerusalem this morning. Somebody drove a truck into a crowd. It just goes on and on and on. So remember these things in your prayers, and we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we thank you for our blessings. Forgive us whenever we take any of our blessings for granted, Lord. And all those wonderful gifts come from you. And Lord, we join our faith one into the other as we lift up into the light and love of your presence. Lord, the first responders, victims of terrorism. As we lift up, Lord, to you, terrorists, we pray, Lord, that you would raise them new creatures in Christ. And we lift up to you, Lord, our country and our country's leaders, our church, the ministry and the finances and evangelism here. We lift up to you, Lord, that situation in Fort Lauderdale, those who are being adversely affected by the weather. We lift up to you, Bonnie and Midge and Ann and the Rudy family. There's two funerals I did this week, Lord. You know them, Lord, the families. I lift them up to you. God, do a mighty work in their lives. We believe that you're greater than any problem that anybody has. We believe, help our unbelief. And we ask all this, Lord, giving you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Our scripture lesson from Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 and 17. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus wants, it's a covenant. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of Truth. A covenant is a sacred agreement between God and a person or a group of people. God sets specific conditions, and he promises to bless us if we obey those conditions. And when we choose not to keep covenants, when we choose to break God's law, then we can't receive those blessings. And in some cases, we suffer a penalty as a consequence of our disobedience. I understand this. God allows us to suffer the consequences of our disobedience in order to teach us, to bring us back into the fold. But I want us to understand that we are a covenant people. For too many years, too often, and I've said it before, the church has preached a cheap grace. You know, as far as the world's concerned, a lot of people in the world, even people sitting in pews, they think, well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe in Jesus. I don't go to church. I don't help my neighbor. I'm not generous. I don't praise God. But I believe in Jesus. That's a cheap grace. And it's not true. Because to believe in Jesus, you want to do all that other things. You know, it hinges a lot on that word believe. But that's a covenant that God made with us. If we believe in Jesus, trust Jesus, put our whole life in his hands, then God will give us eternal life. A covenant. In the church, we have three main covenants. First covenant is baptism. In that covenant there, we say, in the case of infant baptism, we say, God, here is my child. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless this child. And by the power of your Spirit, see that this child is drawn closer to you throughout their life. And as part of my agreement with you, I will do everything I can to raise that child in a Christian home and atmosphere. I will do everything I can to teach them the Bible, to tell them about Jesus, to bring them to church. That's a covenant agreement that we make with God through baptism of an infant. As an older person, the covenant agreement is, I repent of my sin, and I ask Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior, then I have eternal life. So when you, as an older person, repent of your sin and confess your faith in Jesus, then you're rewarded with eternal life. That's the agreement. Marriage is a covenant agreement also. We know about the wedding vows that we take. And when I counsel couples for weddings, I tell them that the agreement that they make is not just between the two of them, but it's between the two of them and Almighty God. That if they make those wedding vows to each other, understanding that they're making them also to God, then God will truly bless their marriage. God will see them through the good times and the tough times, but God will bless their marriage. Now, that's a covenant that we know is being broken all the time. More than 50% of marriages end up in divorce. It's right on the line, 50-50, or just over the line, more than 50% are ending in divorce. And those that don't end in divorce, so many of those are broken, abusive, on the verge of divorce, lacking love and respect, just really bad. And yet I can promise you that if you put God first in your marriage, you keep that covenant, God will bless your marriage. God will bless your marriage. Because, you know, Jesus was at that wedding in Cana of Galilee where he changed the water into wine. He was honoring marriage. And it's what God wants us to do. So if we keep that covenant, God will bless us for that. If we don't, then we suffer the consequences. The third covenant relationship that's important in the church is membership. Membership, we make a covenant with God. If when you look at page 33 in your hymnal and we read along, we ask the people who are joining if they believe in Jesus Christ. Will they serve him as their Lord and Savior? Will they fight injustice and oppression in any forms that they find it? Will they support the church with their prayers, by being here, with their tithes and offerings, with their gifts, their abilities and that, with their hard work? Will they support the church in that way? Will they be faithful? We ask people that as part of the covenant. Will they pray for each other? Will they love one another? Will they bring glory to God? So we ask all that, and then they become a member that way. That's a covenant. You see, this isn't a club. This is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ with Christ as the head. And I couldn't tell you, it can't be any more important than it is to be a good member of the body of Christ, because we're doing it for God's glory as part of a covenant people. We make sacrifices. It's not always easy. Sometimes we have to do the uncomfortable thing. It's true. Sometimes it's a lot of fun. But being a member, even a constituent who supports the church, being involved in the life of the church, it's like being involved in the life of a family. Only Jesus Christ is the head. And we do it to please God. We don't do it to please each other. We don't come to church to please the pastor. We don't come to the church to please the choir or each other. We come to church to please God. And yet, that's a covenant that's broken quite easily because, you know, church has become an option. You know, there were, you may have heard this one before, there were three ministers who got together one day for lunch, and they were all from different churches. And after they talked shop for a while, the first minister said, "Hey, I've got a problem." He says, "I've got bats up in my attic and bell tower." He says, "And I've tried everything I can think of to get rid of them." He says, I've put mothballs up there. He says, "I put a light up there." He says, "I can't get rid of them." He says, what can I do? The other minister says, "Well," he says, I went up and boarded up all the openings." He says, "I even took a .22 up there and was shooting some of them." He says, I didn't know what to do to get rid of them." He says, "I couldn't get rid of them either, no matter what I did." And the third minister was just sitting there smiling and nodding his head. And they turned and they looked at him and they said, "What about you?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "We had a real bad bat problem too." He said, "The attic and the bell tower were just full of bats." He said, "But we got rid of all of them." He said, "Well, how did you do that?" He said, "It was easy. I baptized them, made them members, and never seen them since." Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in that, because over the years, I've had people come to me and say, "What do I got to do to join? I want to get my child baptized, or I want to be baptized." And they're only around as long as it takes to get that done. Why? I don't know. Maybe so they can put it in their obituary one day. Maybe so they can feel good about something. Maybe because they think it gives them salvation. But I'm going to tell you what. If you park your car in an airplane hangar, does it make your car an airplane? Nope. If you sit in a pew in a church, does it make you a Christian? Nope. It's where we learn about God. It's where we pull together and do great ministry. But salvation is in believing in Jesus and no other way. But we are a covenant people, and we serve a covenant God. I'm going to tell you, too, that I've been at this for years, right? Been in ministry. How long have I been in ministry? 23 years. Anyways, and then longer before that, before I came into ministry. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I looked up covenant. Put it into a Bible search engine. And boy, the hits I got. I was reading so many stories and so many passages that if it didn't use the word covenant, it still talked about a covenant. And I began to realize, more than I ever did before, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about covenants. We are definitely a covenant people. God has made agreements with us, and he holds us accountable when we don't live up to those agreements. He has made us promise after promise after promise, but he has also said that we have these responsibilities. Started with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, first covenant he made them was, here's his garden, and I'll provide all your needs, and I'll bless you. All you have to do is dress, till, and keep the earth, subdue it, and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here's what I'll do for you. Here's what you'll do for me. And then I'll come down in the cool of the day and walk with you in the garden. It was a pretty sweet deal. A good covenant. Of course, they broke that covenant. And then they had to suffer the consequences. And they were kicked out of the garden. And they had to suffer because of it. What was the next covenant? Next covenant was Cain and Abel. God said, if you give me the first fruits of whatever it is you're growing, whatever it is you're earning, if you give me the first fruits, I'll bless that. Because if you give me the first fruits, you're recognizing that I'm more important than anything else. I will bless that and honor that. If you don't, I'm not going to bless it. Abel, he raised livestock. And the firstborn of his livestock, he sacrificed to God. It was a sweet aroma to God. God loved it. Cain grew crops. And he didn't give his first harvest to God. He waited for a while. And then he finally brought some of his grain and that to God, and God rejected it. Cain gets jealous of Abel and kills him. And then he suffers for the rest of his life. Because he broke the covenant. And it goes on and on and on. There's the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. God tells Abraham, listen, I'm going to bring you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. I want you to leave your mother and father, your family, and what you've known all your life. I want you to go to this land you've never heard of. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so that your descendants will be more than the stars in the skies, more than the sands on the beach, and through you, the whole world will bless themselves. So if you're faithful to do that, if you're willing to leave your home and go to this land you've never heard of, if you'll trust in me, I will bless you, and you'll have all these descendants. And Abraham does. And spiritually, Abraham is our father. Father of our faith. And it just goes on and on. There's so many covenants. Covenant after covenant God makes with us. Let me ask you. What does an apple tree produce? Well, these people knew right up here. Did anybody back there know? What? Apples? What does a pear tree produce? You know, I never could figure that out because it only seemed to be one piece of fruit at a time. They didn't come in twos. Pears. Okay. What does a plum tree produce? Cherry tree? Oak tree? Acorns. That's right, acorns. What does a fig tree produce? Figs. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we're to walk in the way of love here, just the way Christ walked in the way of love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship, you and I, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God's got a plan. But he created you and me to do good works. John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We were created to bear much fruit. John 15, verse 8. For the glory of God. So, what does an apple tree produce? Apples. What does a banana tree produce? What does a Christian produce? Good works. And you're right, other Christians, because sheep beget sheep, but Christians produce good works. You know, James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So you and I are to produce good works. That's why we were created in Christ Jesus, to produce good works. That is the agreement that we have made with God, that we will do what God wants us to do, and God will bless us for it. So we've got to do good works. Now here's the good news. So let those who have ears hear. Right now you're thinking, it's such a struggle to do stuff. We got more excuses than anybody, right? I'm too old. I'm too poor. I'm too shy. I'm too busy. I don't know enough about that. I'm too embarrassed to do that. I'm too young, or I've got too many aches and pains, or we've got more excuses. Oh my goodness! And yet, God says, "Now listen. I'm not going to leave it up to you. You were created to produce good works." But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit to help you do those works. In other words, I'm going to change your DNA. I'm going to turn you into a Christian apple tree. So you're not even going to think about wanting to do good works. It's just going to happen. Just naturally going to happen, because as a Christian, you're going to want to do good works. Because you are a covenant people, and you have covenant with me to bear fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" There are many, many others. Scriptures about covenants. Said we had a lot to do today, and I want to call up some covenant people. Then we're going to pray for them, because these covenant people are your leaders. They're the ones who are going to lead our church into the new year to do ministry, to turn the world upside down. They need the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do. We cannot do it on our own. So we need the Spirit. So as a covenant people, I'm going to call these folks up. When you hear your name, just come on down front. Church Council Chair Tom Lehner, Vice Chair Ed Caswell, Council Secretary Sarah Hawley, Lay Member of Annual Conference Nellie Wianco, Trustee Chair Tracy Hawley, Church Treasurer Nellie Brown, Lay Leader Chris Christ, Staff Pastor Parish, Co-Chairs David Walker, Peggy Kuser, School Superintendents Becky Platt, Amy Bergman, United Methodist Women President Bernie Fischel, United Methodist Men President Mike Andreessen, now Chair Ethel Rosenberg, members at large Bill Mays, Debbie Weaver, Eric Platt, Stephanie Blissman, Board of Trustees, Neil Kucher, Rebecca Valerie, Phil Payton, Mike Osborne, Tracy Hawley, Tim Saporito, Ruth Mance, David Platt, staff, Pastor Parish Relations, Peggy Kuzer, David Walker, Keela Campbell, Anita Sims, Mary Reed, David Pesabanki, Terry Yersison, David Walker, Peggy Kuzer, Eric Platt, Lay Leadership, Tom Lehner, Ed Caswell, Ethel Rosenberg, Peggy Kuzer, David Walker, Tracy Hawley, Lori Loefner, Ethel Rosenberg, Dot Depp, Patty McGowan. Finance, Ed Caswell, Bill Park, Debbie Weaver, Bill Hawley, Debbie Marino, Alan Painter, Kelly Smith, Liz Collins, Ed Caswell, Cal Bryan. Debbie Massimino is our office manager. Our music and arts minister, Diane Runzer. Liturgical dance, Jennifer Dudick, Eileen Reynolds, Val Caswell. Sound techs, Josh Berger, Nellie Wanko, Carolyn Ralph, Kyle Bryan, Fritz Runzer, Penny Brandt, Ed Lorenz, George Ralph. Prayer chain, Gene Barrett. Altar Guild, Debbie Kosovar, Donna Kosovar, Flowers, Alice Hubert. Greeters, Bernetta Green. Ushers, Jerry Paul, Tom Lehner. Additional committee members, Krista Brown, Mary Reed, Nellie Wianco, Peggy Kuzer, Connie Bickerstaff, Betsy Park. Food Bank, Phil and Sandy Payton, Jason and Melissa Davis. Emergency Health Services, Cindy and Alan Painter. Good Samaritan, Dot Depp. There are some other names on committee members, but these are our leaders. And we're going to pray for them. So let me tell all of you, dear friends, you have been called by God, chosen by the people of God for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us and for us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation, and we challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to this people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ, and make him known in your witness and your work. So do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do. Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? If so, answer, I will. Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and peace? If so, answer, I will. Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? If so, answer, I will. We also recognize those persons who have been elected to office by the United Methodist Men, United Methodist Women, and United Methodist Youth. So let us pray. I want you to put your hand out, like I'm going to give you five, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep them before the example of our Lord, who did not think of himself first, but gave himself for us all. Let them share his ministry and consecration, that they may enter into his joy. Guide them in their work. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. Guide them, Lord. Show them what a covenant people are. Help us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to lead this church into the year 2017, to turn our community upside down, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach the lost. To all of you, dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyards. Will you do all that you can to assist and encourage these leaders in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, and your prayers? If so, answer, we will. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for your faithful service. God pour out his Spirit upon you this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. If someone ever ridicules you or questions, why are you always doing that? How come you got to go there? You just tell them, because I'm a covenant child of God. I serve a covenant God. I've made an agreement. I'm going to honor my covenant. Please turn in your hymnals to page 15, Service of Word and Table 3, and follow along. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, Lord God, for saving us. For we were a stiff-necked, sinful people, and yet you loved us in spite of that. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving us. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And on that night that Jesus would be betrayed, he got together with his disciples, took off his outer garments, wrapped a towel around himself. He washed their feet, showed them how they are to love one another. He told them that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then during that meal, Jesus took the bread, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this bread, that it would be for us the body of Christ. He broke that bread. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this cup, which is the cup of the new covenant, so that it would take away our sins. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and drink you all of this, for this is the new cup of my covenant, which is for the forgiveness of sins for many. He said, as often as you do this, as often as you have communion, have it in remembrance of me, for this is a covenant that I am making with you. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Come, Holy Spirit, come, for we need you. Change our DNA. Fill us with so much love that we can't possibly contain it. Come, Holy Spirit. Guide us into all the good works that we are to do. Help us to bear the fruit that will glorify God. Come, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer that the Lord taught us. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May I have the ushers, please. We've all heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? Just love that. It says, did you know that when you kissed the face of Jesus, you were kissing the face of God? Now, right now, you think you're holding a piece of bread in your hand. It's true. It is bread. But it's so much more than that. This is God. This is Jesus giving of himself for us. This is Jesus hugging us. Jesus' very presence is in this bread. It's his body given for us. Hold it up. Take and eat. Jesus called this the cup of the covenant. This is an agreement that we believe in Jesus will have eternal life. And that as new creatures in Christ, God will pour out his Spirit upon us so that we will bear much fruit for him. His blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Hold it up. Take and drink.
Thank you.
We are, again, we're a covenant people in so many ways. So live according to the covenant. Ask God for help. And God will bless your socks off. I promise you that. Because that's the promise that God has made. And God never breaks his promises. So Lord, pour out your spirit upon us that as we leave this place, we will live our lives as a covenant people. At work, at home, with our neighbors, in our travels, and at church. Come, Holy Spirit, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said,
Amen.